Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe at RT.ie. Lots of reaction also to Jerry Devaney on the programme yesterday and the number of calls that he generated, and Sharon Giblin's call as well about trying to find her family and the incredible tough story of what happened to her mother. We've also been contacted by Anna Corrigan, who's a well-known campaigner. She set up the Tuam Babies Family Group. Anna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good to hear you again. But Anna, a lot of people were taken aback yesterday when Jerry Devaney discovered, one, he discovered he had a brother in the Tuam Mother and Baby Home, where he was at one stage, but also that his brother had died aged, 6 or 7 months from malnutrition.
Yeah, my friend rang me yesterday and she said, switch on the radio there, she said there's something on about the Tuam Babies. Mm-hmm. And I tuned in halfway through Jerry's story, but somewhere along the line, someone had either told me about Jerry or I'd spoken to him myself. I know he trades in Air Square, I think.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd heard on the preface, so I listened to the second half of the chat, and then I was listening to Sharon Giblin. And I mean, it's after evoking an awful lot for me, because this month and last month very strange, because you know the report from the commission was due out the 26th this month, and that's been
delayed,
put away. But on a personal note, I have a brother buried in the Tuam pit, as I call it. I wouldn't even call it a grave, a pit. And his name is John Desmond, and he was born in 1946. And my mother was a country woman, and he was born of fine, healthy weight of over 9 pounds. And by the time he was 13 months old, I had secured the inspection report. He was emaciated with a voracious appetite.
Oh my God! A child. How could a child have a voracious appetite, apart from, which is brilliant if the child had.
It's what being said.
Because he was hungry.
There's two words you can't juxtapose to each other. You know, like emaciated means you're not being fed and a voracious appetite means you're hungry because you're not being fed.
But Anne, there's another difficulty here, another angle. Like, it's a rhetorical question, but how could many children do you reckon died of malnutrition like Patrick Devaney in the Tuam Mother and Baby Home?
Well, I had the Tuam death list, and I went through it after listening to Jerry yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I highlighted 18 children that died from marasmus, which is another word for malnutrition.
But they were in
17 of them were under a year old. And they were in the care of the nuns. Like, so it wasn't the mothers alone that were actually minding them. Yeah. And the nuns were being paid to actually feed the children. Like, they got a substantial amount by that time from the county council. So there was no need for that, you know.
Well, they were under, they're under the care of the mothers, but the mothers were heavily restricted, weren't they? They couldn't go out.
They didn't have a separate
income to go out and buy, and it wouldn't have been allowed out anyway.
No, but the nuns were getting the head of shame for both the mother and the children, and they were also, as I say, what really was frightening is these Bonsacore nurses, nuns, they were all trained nurses, and a lot of them were children's nurses. There was a book done by my visit to Ireland, I can't remember his name now, but he actually highlighted that in his book way back in the 50s. You know, so, I mean, there was no early, there was something sinister going on. But, I mean, that's what, and I mean, it was highlighted as well by Conal O'Farrell in the Irish Examiner on March the 7th, 2017. And he said, this was all at the opening up after the Tuam. From 38 to 44 in Bessborough, 20% of the deaths were due to marasmus as well.
That's, again, that point you make, children dying of malnutrition in a home that's run by women who've decided to give their lives to God and all that stands for, to Christ, and also who were nurses. It's just beyond belief.
And also getting a headache payment.
Yeah, getting paid.
To enable the children. You know, the rate of death in the home was you know, 25% higher than in the public at large. Now, I was born in 56 in around the inner city in the tenements, five families in a house. And, I mean, the death rate was actually 25% lower, given the circumstances at that time, than what was happening in the homes.
I remember Dublin of its day, Tenement Day, had among the highest death rate of children in all of Europe. Yeah, Sinead is on the line. Sit there, Anna. Sinead, you as you say, gave up a baby girl when, Sinead?
In 82, Joe.
1982?
Yeah, 1982,
obviously, sorry,
I know. She's 38 now. And I went through an awful lot of difficulties and sadness, and I had to go to the UK, and I stayed where else was over there.
And can I ask why you had to give up the baby?
Oh, society, rural Ireland, disgrace, you know, the usual. You've heard it time and time again.
Family?
I beg your pardon?
Your family, the parents, were, did they? Yeah.
Well, it was more for, you know, parents of the upstanding parents in the community. And part of it was I wasn't in the relationship long. I was only 20, although 20 now is different. Yeah. The advice was, I had support from all my siblings.
Okay.
But it was my parents, more so my mother, who was, I suppose, at that time trying to foresee what it'd be like for me, and also the shame, you know, of a child out of wedlock. But the fact that it was the '80s, I was listening to your program yesterday, and the fact that it was the '80s, you know, or the '60s you were talking about. I mean, it's happening in the '80s, and I'm sure it's happening still. So I suppose my point is, I've made contact with my daughter, Jane, perseverance.
Okay.
3 years ago, she contacted me, and that was only because I persevered through Bernardo's. I jumped through hoops of Bernardo's, and especially with the English Catholic Association. So I had to jump through hoops of them doing courses before I went over to, and back and forth to England, to even try and contact her through the agency. But then the agency decided when she was 35 that they wouldn't send any cards through to her that I had sent, and my sister had sent cards every year, and they got lost, and that was really, really disappointing and really sad for us.
You've been in touch with, you're so 1982, your daughter's an adult now.
She's 38.
And how's she doing?
She's doing great. It's just funny how, you know, the personality, even in email, the genes are showing through the email.
Okay. And does she have children? Are you a grandmother?
I'm a grandmother for the first time.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks a million.
That's
She sent photographs and kept me informed, and she made contact. And the only reason she made contact is that I broke the rules by putting my email address and phone number on the cards that were sent to her.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, if anybody's trying to contact,
but your daughter, that you didn't know your daughter, so it was up to her. You were giving her the option of contacting.
What I'm saying is, the adoption agency frowned on it. But I just went ahead and did it anyway.
Okay. Well, you're it's great to hear you in touch again, but it's
incredible.
It's an incredible story from recent Ireland. Okay, Sinead, thanks a million. Anna Corrigan, thanks a million. Way over time, Anna.
Just very briefly. There's two sinister things around these deaths. The number of deaths declined after 1952. And when the 1953 Act came in, they nearly stopped. So, I mean, there's a question around that has to be answered.
Okay.
Are they actually all dead?
Thanks, Anna. That's Anna Corrigan, great campaigner for the Tuam, the survivors and relatives of people in the Tuam mother and baby home. Back after the break.